Good morning. This is Sarah Eide at the Cathedral of St. Mary of the Annunciation in Cape Girardeau, Missouri, welcoming you to our Sunday morning Mass. This is March 27th, 2022, the fourth Sunday of Lent. Let's reflect at this time as we ready ourselves for this Mass. All of the readings of this Sunday can be understood in light of the words of St. Paul in his second letter to the Corinthians, "Be reconciled to God." In what is today's second reading, Paul makes an urgent appeal to the Corinthians to be reconciled to God in Christ. Paul's frustration is so evident as he saw the Corinthians toying with their old pagan ways. They were forsaking true life with Christ. It underscored his insistence that nothing else mattered but life with Christ. He implored the people to return to God. "Live as new creations in Christ," he told them. Then in the Gospel from St. Luke is the reassuring and familiar parable of the prodigal son. It is such a familiar story to us. The characters in the parable are strong and vibrant. We can identify with this story so easily. We see a loving father who always forgives, always shows love, and never holds failings against his kids. We see a son who cares only about himself, takes his inheritance and wastes it, and then comes home. The older son, who has always been faithful, is now filled with resentment because the father lavishes his love on the son who wasted everything. We recognize ourselves in both of the sons and need to pray that we may be as loving and forgiving as the father. This is what it means to be reconciled to God. Love all others, regardless of what they've done. Let us pray. Lord, help us to love all others as you love us. Help us to be as forgiving as you are as we pray to you always in our most important prayer, the Our Father. Lead us this Lent to be reconciled to you and thus be with you forever. Our celebrant today is Father Alan Saunders. Our cantor is Miss Lisa Simmons, who will lead us in song accompanied by Miss Annalise Hendricks as organist. Please join us now as we begin this morning's service with our entrance hymn.
Good morning. Please be sure all cell phones and pagers are on silent, and please rise. Rejoice, Jerusalem. Our loving God offers us pardon and peace. Please join in singing our opening hymn, 40 Days and 40 Nights, number 248.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Today we're celebrating Laetare Sunday, Rejoice Sunday. And on this Laetare Sunday, we'll have the second scrutiny for Amanda as she prepares herself for the sacraments of baptism, confirmation, and Holy Eucharist. It's an opportunity for us to rejoice in the forgiveness of God. And so we scrutinize our own hearts, asking the Holy Spirit for his help to better prepare ourselves for these sacred mysteries. I confess to Almighty God and to you, my brothers and sisters, that I have greatly sinned in my thoughts and in my words, in what I have done and what I have failed to do. Through my most grievous fault. Therefore, I ask of Blessed Mary, of her Virgin, all the angels and saints, and you, my brothers and sisters, to pray for me to the Lord our God. May Almighty God have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and bring us to everlasting life. Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison. Christe eleison. Christe eleison. Kyrie eleison. Kyrie eleison. Let us pray. O God, who through your word reconcile the human race to yourself in a wonderful way, grant, we pray, that with prompt devotion and eager faith, the Christian people may hasten toward the solemn celebrations to come. Through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever. Amen.
Our first reading is from Joshua chapter 5, verses 19a through 10 and 10 through 12, read by Mr. Bill Green.
A reading from the book of Joshua. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I have removed the reproach of Egypt from you." While the Israelites were encamped at Gilgal on the plains of Jericho, they celebrated the Passover on the evening of the 14th of the month. On the day after the Passover, they ate of the produce of the land in the form of unleavened cakes and parched grain. On that same day after the Passover, on which they ate of the produce of the land, the manna ceased. No longer was there manna for the Israelites, who that year ate of the yield of the land of Canaan. The word of the Lord. Reading from the second letter of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brothers and sisters, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. And all this is from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Christ and given us the ministry of reconciliation. Namely, God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as if God were appealing through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who did not know sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. The word of the Lord.
Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus, but the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them, Jesus addressed this parable. A man had two sons. And the younger son said to his father, "Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me." So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but no one gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, "How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat, while I am here dying from hunger? I will get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers.' So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son.' But his father ordered his servants, 'Quickly, bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found.' Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of dancing and music. He called one of the servants and asked what this might mean. The servant said to him, 'Your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound.' He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, 'Look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. But you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, who swallowed up your property with prostitutes, for him you slaughter the fattened calf.' He said to him, 'My son, You are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice because your brother was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of the Lord. Many of us know the tune and the words. Most of us can probably sing the first two verses by heart. But I wonder how many of us know the story, the poet, and the story behind his life. Well, as we listen to today's gospel, you might imagine that the hymn I'm speaking about is Amazing Grace. In the first verse, it says that I was lost and now I am found. I was blind and now I see. But I wonder how many of us know the name of the author of the poem and his story. John Newton started out life with a rather happy home, at least regarding his own mother. His mother died when he was six, but not before she had planted in his heart the belief in Almighty God and the desire on her part that he go into the clergy. She had high aspirations for her son and wanted him to serve the kingdom of God with all his heart. When she died when he was six, he was then alone with a father who wasn't necessarily the most loving person. In fact, in many ways, a great taskmaster. So John, grieved over his mother's death and resentful against his father, lived out an existence for the first 30-some years of his life, perhaps much like the prodigal son in today's gospel. John was such a difficult young man to deal with that his father decided to put him on a ship, one of his ships in his fleet. He was a shipping magnet, and decided to apprentice him to one of the lower positions, hoping to at least humble the young man and cause him to think a little bit about where he was going in life. It only made John more resentful, as he was now away from home and hearth, and nothing familiar was part of his life. Embittered by the experience, he became even more difficult to handle. And so his father decided the Royal Navy might be the only thing that would give this young man discipline and a little bit of a sense of purpose in life. Of course, at the age of 14, being sent to the Navy didn't make life easy for John, nor did it cause him to have a conversion of heart. He only became more difficult, developing now, because of his term in the Navy, even worse vices than he had before. In his mid-teens, he would suffer from all the unfortunate vices that you might expect. When the Navy could no longer put up with him, they gave him what we today call a dishonorable discharge. And they decided to punish him for his recalcitrance by putting him on a slave trading ship, which, of course, you would think would be such a disgusting place to be that John might think twice, like the young man in today's gospel, who, in tending swine and starving to death, even as he's watching the hogs eating their food, finally came to his senses. Unfortunately for John, it only caused him to develop another vice in his life, greed. Hardening his heart against the Africans who were being traded, as he was taking them from the west coast of that continent to the United States, or rather to the British colonies, and eventually to the West Indies and the British Empire, he found himself enjoying the fact that he could make a great deal of money off of human flesh. Hardening his heart against the image and likeness of God imprinted on every human being, including the slaves that he was trading in, he found himself even angrier with life and those who would get in his way. He could not, though, shake his mother's faith. And from time to time, he tried to dicker with God. Being unable to deny God's existence, he tried to find ways to get God to do his will. Unsuccessful, it oftentimes made him even angrier. But on one occasion, when he found himself off the Irish coast, he was in a storm that was threatening his life. It wasn't the first time that he brought himself to the brink, as he would have his life threatened by many of his foolish decisions. This time he was sure that he was going to die. Crying out to God, there appeared to be a miraculous cessation of the storm. The wind died. The seas became calm. And finally, John Newton, in meeting Almighty God,
could not deny his existence, or apparently, in this case, God's mercy. He swore that his life would change. And he began a slow process of conversion. Not giving up his chosen profession for a couple of years, he found himself struggling in his conscience, wrestling with himself. And finally, no longer being able to say no to God, he gave up slave trade. And in returning to England, began to hear the Holy Spirit whispering to him about his mother's chosen profession. He went into the ministry in the Church of England and became one of the great abolitionists because of his former experience in the British Empire, encouraging Henry Wilberforce, who eventually, as a member of Parliament, got the British Empire to stop the slave trade and even ownership in slaves, a good 50 years before the United States would finally accomplish that task, albeit through a bloody civil war. John Newton would be known for his love and his desire to serve Almighty God with all of his heart and soul. In a homily that he gave on New Year's Day in 1777, he quoted a poem that he had written, which we today know as Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, and now am found. Was blind, but now I see. Newton would become famous for that song, and of course for his own conversion. And many people would come to listen to his story, convinced that only the grace of God could accomplish such repentance in a human heart. Newton understood what it was like, though, to be the young man in today's gospel, resentful against a father, hoping perhaps that he would even die so that he might have his inheritance. Newton would understand that he'd also been fighting Almighty God, a loving father who was there for him each and every day of his life, intervening at important times and calling out to his heart in order to bring him back home. He would understand what St. Paul said in today's first reading, or at the second reading, as he says, whoever is in Christ is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Now new things have come. As his life would put aside the old, the anger, the bitterness, the greed, the pride that had grasped his heart and caused him to do terrible things rather than to obey Almighty God. He also understood what it was like to be dead and come back to life. Newton, in fact, had been dead to Almighty God. God would not leave him in the tomb of his own foolish decisions, which caused him to be in a perpetual state of mortal sin. And yet the father who longed to see him come down that road had to wait until John's heart was ready. St. John the Apostle, in his first letter in the New Testament, talks about sin when he says in a short verse, all sin is wrongdoing, but not all sin is deadly. For centuries, the Church has taught the difference between venial and mortal sin. Venial sin, of course, harms our relationship with God and neighbor and is never to be taken lightly. Mortal sin kills the life of grace within our souls, causes us to leave the Father's house, no longer interested in being obedient, allowing ourselves to be under his strength, his supervision, and his protection. Mortal sin is perhaps easier to commit than some of us may want to admit. Yes, John Newton was a slave trader and had many vices, but he, in fact, is not the only one who could commit a sin that would cause him in that rebellion and disobedience to God to walk away from his father's house. Refusing God worship on Sunday is a mortal sin. Treating God and mammon equally in our human heart can be a mortal sin. Offending the sixth and ninth commandments in serious ways, denying the sacredness of the way we procreate and hand on life to the next generation, using that gift from God for our pleasure and enjoyment alone, is a mortal sin. Abusing the truth of God's word and refusing to listen to his commands can be a mortal sin. Each and every one of us listening on radio, watching on live stream, or sitting in this church has an opportunity to ask ourselves, Are we, in fact, in a state where we hear the voice of God and we want to enjoy His company, but only once in a while, when it doesn't get in the way of the decisions I want to make, when I don't really want to hear the Father say, do this or that, rather than simply hear Him say, here are my gifts, enjoy them. So each and every one of us this Lenten season has an opportunity to ask ourselves, are we like that younger son who is dead and needs to come to life, was lost and needs to be found? In today's second reading, St. Paul reminds us that all of God's ambassadors are ambassadors for Christ. God is, if it were, appealing through us. And so priests and bishops standing in the pulpit, along with other ministers of other churches, are God trying to say, come back to life, come back home. St. Paul will say then, in words that we use as our own, we implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled. The son in today's first gospel knows that he has to come back home with hat in hand. If we, in the mind's eye of our imagination, might be able to picture him walking down the road, shuffling along, with his head bent, his shoulders slack, being able to say with all his heart and soul, I've been humbled by life, perhaps to my good, by Almighty God. No wonder the father, who's been waiting at his door, longing for his son to come home, runs out to him out of compassion. Because the son is not the picture of pride, standing up straight with head held high and with his hat on his head, but rather bent over by the remorse of his conscience and the sorrow, contrition for his sins, the young man calls out to the father's compassion. And so does each and one of us when we stand in a line to go to confession. If we plead our innocence at the beginning of Mass rather than say, I am grievously sinful, it's my grievous sin that's offended God, God's compassion really isn't called for. It's only when all in humility we stand in that confessional line, admitting our grief for our sins before all the other people who have come to have their confessions heard, that we really call on God's mercy and forgiveness. No wonder the young man knew that not only would he return home, but he had his confession ready. I have sinned against heaven and against you, Father. I no longer deserve to be called your son or your daughter. When we speak to God in that spirit and mean it with all our heart, there will be compassion, not for the prideful soul, but for the soul has been laid low by God's grace and perhaps life itself. At the end of his life, John Newton would get up in the pulpit and have to admit, in all humility, his memory was failing him. He died in his 80s, so it was only natural. Probably forgot once in a while a baptism he was supposed to do, or perhaps a house call he had promised to make. And he had to, and with some embarrassment, admit, my memory is failing me. But he would say it from the pulpit in this way. Yes, all of you know, I'm becoming forgetful. But there are two things I will never forget. I will always remember. I am a great sinner, he would say. And secondly, Christ is a great Savior. This Lent, we're called on to acknowledge the first by standing in line and making an utterly sincere confession, particularly of mortal sins, before we go to communion, coming to our Father's house and enjoying the meal that he sets before us, so that we might be able to say with boldness, pride, and joy in this Laetare Sunday, yes, I am a great sinner, but Christ is a great Savior.
Together profess our faith. I believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible. I believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, born of the Father before all ages, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, consubstantial with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us men and for our salvation he came down from heaven and by the Holy Spirit was incarnate of the Virgin Mary and became man. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried, and rose again on the third day in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is adored and glorified, who has spoken to the prophets. I believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. I confess on baptism for the forgiveness of sins, and I look forward to the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. I invite Amanda, our elect, and her godmother to please stand. Today you stand before the Lord, aware of the goodness of His love. As we grow in the Lord, we become sensitive to the barriers that prevent us from being transformed by His love. I ask all of you, the faithful, to pray now in silence with this elect, and ask for a spirit of repentance and a sense of sin, so that we may find true freedom as children of God. Let us pray for this elect whom God has called, that she may remain faithful to Him and boldly give witness to the words of eternal life.
That trusting in the truth of Christ, Amanda may find freedom of mind and heart and preserve it always, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That preferring the folly of the cross to the wisdom of the world, Amanda may glory in God alone, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That freed by the power of the Holy Spirit, Amanda may put all fear behind her and press forward with confidence, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That those families and nations prevented from embracing the faith may be granted freedom to believe the gospel, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
That we who are faced with the values of the world may remain faithful to the spirit of the gospel, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For the souls of the faithful departed, especially for John and Marie Ostendorf, for whom this Mass is being offered, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer.
For family and friends who have died, especially Joseph Hoffman, husband of Dolly, we pray to the Lord.
Lord, hear our prayer. Lord God, source of unfailing light, by the death and resurrection of Christ, you have cast out the darkness of hatred and lies, and poured forth the light of truth and love upon the human family. Hear our prayers for this elect, whom you have called to be your adopted child. Enable her to pass from darkness to light, and delivered from the prince of darkness, to live always as a child of the light. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus Christ, at your own baptism, the heavens were opened, and you received the Holy Spirit to empower you to proclaim the good news to the poor and to restore sight to the blind. By your power, free this elect from the cunning of Satan as she draws near to the fountain of living water. Touch her heart with the power of the Holy Spirit, that she may come to know the Father in true faith, which expresses itself in love. For you live and reign forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated.
Please join in our offertory hymn, Shepherd of Souls, number 404.
Pray, brothers and sisters, that my sacrifice and yours may be acceptable to God, the Almighty Father. We place before you with joy these offerings, which bring eternal remedy, O Lord, praying that we may be faithfully revere them and present them to you as is fitting for the salvation of all the world. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with your
spirit. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right and just, our duty and our salvation, always and everywhere to give you thanks, Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Eternal God. For you have given your church a sacred time for the renewing and purifying of their hearts, that freed from disordered affections, they may so deal with the things of this passing world as to hold rather to the things that endure eternally. And so with all the angels and saints we praise you, as without end, we acclaim. You are indeed holy, O Lord, and all you have created rightly gives you praise. For through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, by the power and working of the Holy Spirit, you give life to all things and make them holy. And you never cease to gather a people to yourself, so that from the rising of the sun to its setting, a pure sacrifice may be offered to your name. Therefore, O Lord, we humbly implore you, by the same Spirit, graciously make holy these gifts we have brought to you for consecration, that they may become the body and blood of your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, at whose command we celebrate these mysteries. For on the night he was betrayed, he himself took bread, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, broke the bread, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and eat of it. For this is my body, which will be given up for you."
Father Allen now shows the body of Christ to the assembly, kneeling in adoration. The ringing of the bells means that transubstantiation has occurred.
In a similar way, when supper was ended, he took the chalice, and giving you thanks, he said the blessing, and gave the chalice to his disciples, saying, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. For this is the chalice of my blood, the blood of the new and eternal covenant, which will be poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in memory of me."
Father Allen now shows the chalice of Christ's blood to the assembly, kneeling in adoration. We are in the presence of the blood of Christ and the body of Christ.
A mystery of faith.
We proclaim your death, O Lord, and profess your resurrection until you come,
Therefore, O Lord, as we celebrate the memorial, the saving passion of your Son, his wondrous resurrection and ascension into heaven. And as we look forward to his second coming, we offer you in thanksgiving this holy and living sacrifice. Look, we pray upon the oblation of your church, and recognizing a sacrificial victim, by whose death you will reconcile us to yourself, grant that we who are nourished by the body and blood of your Son, and filled with his Holy Spirit, may become one body, one spirit in Christ. May he make of us an eternal offering to you, so that we may obtain an inheritance with your elect, especially with the most blessed Virgin Mary, Mother of God, and with blessed Joseph, her spouse, with your blessed apostles and glorious martyrs, Pope St. Pius X and St. Rose Philippine Duchenne, our diocese patrons, and with all the saints, on whose constant intercession in your presence we rely for unfailing help. May this sacrifice of our reconciliation, we pray, O Lord, advance the peace and salvation of all the world. Be pleased to confirm in faith and charity your pilgrim church on earth, with your servant Francis, our Pope, and Edward, our Bishop, the order of bishops, all the clergy, and the entire people you have gained for your own. Listen graciously to the prayers of this family whom you have summoned before you. In your compassionate, merciful Father, gather to yourself all your children scattered throughout the world. To our departed brothers and sisters, and to all who are pleasing to you, after our passing from this life, give kind admittance to your kingdom. There we hope to enjoy forever the fullness of your glory, through Christ our Lord, through whom you bestow on the world all that is good. Through him, and with him, and in him, O God, Almighty Father, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all glory and honor is yours forever and ever. At the Savior's command and formed by divine teaching, we dare to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Deliver us, Lord, we pray, from every evil. Graciously grant peace in our days, that by the help of your mercy we may always be free from sin and safe from all distress, as we await the blessed hope and the coming of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Lord Jesus Christ, who said to your apostles, Peace I leave you, my peace I give you, look not on our sins, but on the faith of your church, and graciously grant her peace and unity in accordance with your will, who live and reign forever and ever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Behold the Lamb of God, Behold him who takes away the sins of the world. Blessed are those who are called to the supper of the Lamb. Lord, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof, but only say the word, and my soul shall be healed.
Please join in singing our offertory hymn, Be Thou My Vision, number 495.
As people receive the body and blood of Christ from the altar, we invite listeners at home to join us in a prayer of spiritual communion. Jesus, my Savior and my God, I want to receive you in Holy Communion, and since I cannot receive you now in the sacrament at Mass, I ask you to come to me spiritually, to refresh my soul with your goodness. Never let me be separated from you. You have said to us, come to me, all who are weary and heavy-hearted, and I will refresh you. Please then come to me now. Jesus, may all that is you flow into me. May your body and my blood be my food and my drink. May your passion and death be my strength of life. Jesus, with you by my side, enough has been given. May the shelter I seek be the shadow of your death and your cross. Let me not run from the love which you offer, but hold me safely from the forces of evil. On each of my struggles, shed your light and your love. Call me until the day of my death, when with your saints I may praise you forever and ever, that I may live with you forever in heaven for all time. Amen.
Singing the cry of the poor, number 543.
Thank you.
today in the responsorial psalm. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in Him. And just like that tempting old TV commercial, the psalmist David is urging us to try it. You'll like it. He's inviting us to experience what he has discovered, the goodness of God's salvation. David is celebrating that God has rescued him from his fears and troubles. Psalm 34 is a song of gratitude we can all sing when God brings us out of the close call situations. But David's joy is only a foretaste of the future redemption God will bring to all who trust in Him, to all whom God will redeem through the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. God promises great blessings to His people. God will deliver and redeem all who trust in His power to save. God Himself also gives us the ability to believe and trust in Him. And in response, we seek to honor Him in all things, to speak truthfully, to seek peace and justice, and humbly serve our Lord. Taste and see the goodness of the Lord is an invitation to take God at His word, to trust in the Lord and experience His goodness firsthand, to know God personally, realizing that He loves us more than we can ever imagine. The invitation is ours to receive, but it's also ours to extend. So let us pray. Jesus, bread of life, living water, thank You for the hearty taste of salvation and of new life. Thank You for offering Yourself and the bread and wine to taste and see Your goodness. In Your name we pray. Amen. We do remind you, and we thank you for listening and invite you to do so each and every Sunday at 8:30 a.m. from St. Mary Cathedral in Cape Girardeau, or listen to the podcast of today's Mass on the web at www.stmarycathedral.net. We'll conclude the Mass now, and please have a blessed week.
Let us pray. O God, who enlighten everyone who comes into this world, illuminate our hearts, we pray, with the splendor of Your grace, that we may always ponder what is worthy and pleasing to Your Majesty, and love You in all sincerity. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Please see your bulletin and the website for all of the Lenten opportunities that are available at St. Mary's this week, including confessions and Stations of the Cross. The 1st of April is this week. First Friday Masses will be held at 6 and 8 a.m. with the KC breakfast following the 6 a.m. Mass. And next Sunday we will have Adoration of the Blessed Sacrament from 11:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. And we are in need of families to take home the Our Lady of Fatima statue for 1 week at a time. This is a beautiful way to share the praying of the Rosary and other Marian prayers with your children. Please call Becky McLean to sign up for 1 week. And our recessional hymn is O Bless the Lord, number 364.
At the sides of the pews, you'll find forms for nomination for parish council elections, which we'll have sometime in April or early May. We'd ask you to fill those out with good nominees for our parish council and remind you that the bishop has set the priority of having evangelization as the topic discussed by the parish council for the next probably 5-10 years. So we'd encourage you to think about good candidates for that role. Write their names on that sheet and then place them in the basket in the center aisle on the table that's there by the front door. The Lord be with you. May Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Go and announce the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Bless the Lord, my soul. He has Oh, God.